All right.
Hey, good morning. You guys good? All right. Good. Hey, church, I want to remind you, there's a seat next to you. We still got people in our church that are sick, that are hurting, that are going through some hard times, and so be praying for them. And if you notice that someone's not here, reach out and say, hey, we're praying for you. We just got some families that are going through things, not just COVID, but COVID and other things as well. So let's keep our church family in your prayers today. Guys, it's always good to be get together as a church family. It reminds me of what David writes in Psalm 122, verse 1. I love this verse. This first verse, it says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David is rejoicing at the opportunity to go and gather with other worshipers to praise and worship the Lord. And we see the importance of us coming together in the Bible, in the New Testament. We see committed followers of Jesus devoted to coming together, making much of Jesus. Guys, they would worship and they would sing and they would open God's Word together. And so I understand what David is saying here. I'm glad when it's time for us to go to the house of the Lord together to worship and praise Him. Amen, church? So thanks for being here. Let's try that again. Amen, church?
Amen.
All right. So good to be here. We're also grateful for the ability to go live today. We're having a little bit of issues, so hopefully you guys can be on there this morning. But, you know, it's not meant to be a replacement when we do online worship and we have that available, but I'm glad that we can provide it for those that are maybe checking us out or those that are traveling or those that are ill. And so glad that you guys are here as well. I would tell everybody else to wait for you, but you can't see them. But, hey, before we dive into the message today, I want to bring our attention to something. Many of you are probably aware of this, but November is National Adoption Awareness Month. Anybody familiar with that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, yesterday was actually National Adoption Day. And if you've been at Authentic Life Church for a while, you know that we love adoptions and all that they entail. We have Embrace Ministry that prays for and serves and come alongside those families. We come alongside children that are waiting to be adopted. My family, many families in this room have been impacted and blessed and experienced adoption, and so that's been a good thing. And guys, here's the reality. Adoption is a God idea, right? Adoption is God's idea. It's not a government idea. It's not DCS's idea. It's God's idea. He calls us in Scripture to come alongside the fatherless, and sometimes He calls us to do that by adopting a child into our home or children into our home, or maybe He's called you to be a part of that by praying or giving financially towards that, or maybe fostering a child while they're hoping to be adopted. But I love this. The Bible tells us, church, that when we're saved, when we come to know Christ, we're adopted into the family of God. We become children of God at that moment. And so as Jesus followers, we love and value adoption. And if you haven't done this, I would encourage you to maybe this week or today come alongside someone that's waiting to be adopted or that's going through an adoption or whatever that may look like, and encourage them. But I just want to dive into that before we dive into our passage today. As a church, we are walking through each chapter and each verse through the book of Jonah. Most people are familiar with Jonah and the fish that God sent to rescue him, but I want to remind us, and I'm reminding us each week, that Jonah is not written to us as a parable. It's not written to us as allegory. It's written as a historical narrative. It actually happened. This is about a real God, real people, real events, a real fish, right? And we know that to be true because God does God-sized things all the time, right? And this is a miracle. But we also know it to be true because Jesus tells us it's true. Jesus tells us in both Luke and Matthew that it's true. He talks about it being a historically true event. And one of the other things that we mentioned in the first week, while a lot of times when we look at Jonah, we're focusing on the rebellious Jonah and the great fish and the storm and being thrown over, this book really points us to God and who He is. That's what really this book is about. It's about God and who He is. It's about His love for us. It's about God using and being gracious toward rebellious and broken people. It's about God being in control. And so keep that in mind as we walk through this text today, that God loves us, He is gracious, He wants to use us, and He is in control. But I also love Jonah because it's a book that all of us can relate to. There's not one person in here that cannot relate to Jonah. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, how old or young you are, how long you've been saved, or if you don't know Jesus, we can all relate to Jonah. Because you may be the one that needs to know that God loves you and wants to rescue you from your sin no matter what you have done or who you are. You may be the one that's tried to walk away from God and resist God, but you see through the story that God is pursuing you. You may be saved by Jesus, but you don't really feel because of your past or decisions that you can be used by God. And you can see that He uses broken and rebellious people all the time. Or maybe you're the one that knows Jesus, you've been saved by Jesus, but you're not loving others as He calls us to. And so what the big takeaway is to love those and share Jesus with those around us. Guys, there's so much to learn in these four chapters, and I thank God that He put Jonah in the Bible. This morning, if you haven't already, turn with me in your Bibles or your apps. It'll be up on the screen as well. But we're going to look to Jonah chapter 3. And we're going to walk through all 10 verses today. Jonah chapter 3. But before we do that, I'm going to recap what we've covered so far. You guys ready? Are you guys with me this morning?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. All right. All 10 verses, but I'm going to recap. We know from 2 Kings that Jonah was a popular and he was a well-liked prophet of God. And as far as we know, he's always been faithful to God, right? He's always been faithful to the Lord leading. But something changes in Jonah chapter 1, right? We see that God comes to Jonah and he says, Jonah, I need you to arise and I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to go 500 miles this way to Nineveh. And I want you to take this message to them, this message from God. But here's the reality. We find out that Jonah hated these people. Right? I mean, there was a hate and a pride in his heart towards these people because the people of Nineveh were wicked and evil. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, but there's a reason that Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh, because Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were also a wicked and violent city. I'm going to get a little graphic again, church, because we just need to be reminded of who these people were, because in a little bit we're going to see what God rescued them from. This was a military that would go into a city, and when they conquered that city, they would do evil things to the people that they defeated. They were known to bury people up to their necks, that they would leave them alive so they could die of thirst and hunger, but also so they could be eaten and picked at by birds. And they would watch them as that happened. They were known to capture people, and they would rip their skin off and peel their skin off while they were still alive so they could feel as much pain as possible. And then they would take that skin and hang it on the outer walls of their city. They were known to gather the parents in the city. They would gather the parents and they would take their children out in front of them, and they would abuse and persecute their children and kill them in front of their parents. These were not good people, right? Church, these were not good people. They were wicked. They were wicked. They were wicked. And you got it, Dale. I've been struggling talking all day today, so get your phones out and be ready to, you know, make fun of me. That's good. But they were wicked and evil people. They worshiped false gods and false idols while rejecting the one true God. And so we give Jonah a hard time. We're like, Jonah, why didn't you distrust God in the first place, right? I would dare say that we would do the same thing that Jonah did. Right, I think that we would do that. So God sends Jonah to Nineveh, but he arises and he flees 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. The Bible tells us that he's trying to flee from the presence and the face of God. That's what happens when we sin, right? But the good news for us and for Jonah is that God is a patient God. Amen, right? He's a patient God. He's a loving God, and he pursues Jonah. And we see that pursuing. Sometimes when God pursues us, it doesn't necessarily feel good. We don't necessarily like that. But God takes a storm. The Bible says that He threw a storm to get Jonah's attention. But during that storm, Jonah decides it's going to be best, instead of turning back to God in that moment and repenting and asking God for forgiveness, he just decides, you know what, God, I'm just done. He tells the people, hey, this is happening because of me. Just throw me overboard. I'll sink and die. But God doesn't give up on Jonah. He rescues Jonah by sending him a great fish to swallow him up. The Bible tells us last week that Jonah sunk to the bottom. It's not like he just kind of jumped and the whale was there, right? Or whatever kind of fish it was, right? That it was down at the bottom and God rescued him. And while he's in the fish, the belly of the fish, he calls out to God. He repents and surrenders to God. And then God has the fish vomit him up on the shore. Church, that's where we are today. Jonah chapter 3. Would you guys stand with me as we honor God and His Word? Jonah chapter 3. We're going to read all 10 verses today. Here's what God's Word says. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, he laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes of the dust. He issued a proclamation and said this, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each man may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger, so that we will not perish." When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Father, we come to you today, ready to hear from you. God, I pray, Lord, that every word that comes out of my mouth today will glorify you. But God, regardless of what I say, we pray, Lord, that you would be in charge, that our hearts would be ready to respond, our ears are ready to listen, and as we leave, our feet are ready to go in the vision calls to do. So God, we pray, Lord, that you would remove the enemy. God, we pray, Lord, that you would remove any distractions, and our attention would be on you today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You be seated. All right, let's dive in. We titled the message today, Lessons from Nineveh. And as we read through this text, our goal is to see what we can learn, what lessons we can learn as we look at Jonah, as we look at the people of Nineveh and the king, but also as we see God at work. And so look at me to verse 1. We're just going to walk through basically each verse. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." Remember, God gave a word to Jonah in chapter 1. "Arise, go to Nineveh," with a message from God. And leading up to that moment, as far as we know, Jonah had been faithful and obedient to God. But when God says, "Hey, I want you to go to Nineveh," this time, Jonah thought he knew better than God. Right? He thought his plan was better than God. And maybe he thought that God couldn't be trusted when it came to the people of Nineveh. And church, I think that we do that too. Right? I think that we follow God and we do as the Lord asks, or as the Bible asks us most of the time. But there are times where God uses somebody else to speak into our life, or we read the Bible, or we hear it preached, and God is teaching us, or He's sending us, and we just say, "Okay, God, no." Amen, church? I think we do that. I think we just say, "No." And our response is, I'm not so sure about this one, God. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? I think I'm just going to handle this one my way, God. And we act as though God cannot be trusted with certain things. You know, I've always found it odd, and this has been in my life too. But we trust God with our eternity, but we struggle with trusting Him with day-to-day.